Well, guys, we've been going through the Psalms, and I got to be honest with you, I'm like a movie nut. I watch all kinds of movies, and I make Margie watch them sometimes. And Margie is one of the most loving people that God has ever put in my life, because no one else could put up with the crazy things I do. For example, I have all of the Planet of the Apes movies, all of them, and I love them. I mean, it's like I'll watch them over and over again. Oh, not only that, I have all of the Rocky movies, okay? So I kind of get into the action, I get into those kind of things, but Margie found a chick flick channel. It's called Hallmark. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So the deal is, okay, Paul, we've watched like your whole series, right? So now I want you to watch something I want. So I'm like, okay, cool. And so I'm sitting there halfway through going like, what is this? What is? And Margie's like, oh, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? Well, let me tell you why I think it's like, what is this? And why Margie thinks it's so cute. Because every Hallmark movie follows a basic theme. Number one, you got a woman here and you got a guy here. All right? Now, they don't really like each other at first. They kind of pick at each other, whatever. But you could tell. I mean, you know what's going to happen. Something's going to happen halfway through. There's going to be animals in there, cats, dogs, or horses. Something's going to happen. And the one we were watching, the guy was running an animal shelter. So he was helping people adopt dogs and cats. So there were cats and dogs, okay? And so somehow, you know, they're fighting, blah, blah, blah. But somehow they get together. And at the end of the Hallmark movie, it's tied up in a nice bow. And they live happily ever after. And the reason Margie likes it, she goes, oh, isn't that sweet? And I'm like, what is that? That is not real life. That is not real life. Guys, we have been talking about the Psalms. We are doing lessons from the Psalms, right? And in lessons from the Psalms that we look at, you know, we're praising God for His majesty. We're praising God for His greatness. We look at the Psalms sometimes and we kind of think of them almost as this Hallmark thing. Oh yeah, God, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, you know what? I'm not ever going to fear evil because you're with me. It's like, are you kidding? I'm fearing evil every single day in my life. See, sometimes we look at the Psalms, and it's the songbook, right? And we look at the Psalms and we think, okay, this is what I'm supposed to pray. God, even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No, that's not true. You're going to fear evil, but you need His protection. You need Him carrying you through. You need Him sometimes dragging you through, right? That's the way we really feel. So the Psalms aren't teaching us kind of didactically how to pray. The Psalms are snapshots of people's hearts. They're snapshots of people that are want to glorify God, that are so enraptured with the beauty of God that they can't even express His majesty. Or they're in the pit so low that they're crying out in anguish, God, help me. But sometimes we look at the Psalms and say, oh, it's just tied up in a nice little bow. Well, today we're going to snap that bow. We're going to do what's called an imprecatory psalm. Now, there are about six imprecatory psalms in there. Imprecatory psalms are psalms where the person that's praying is actually praying for the destruction of somebody. I first became aware of this, really, and I'm not political. And those of you that try to make me political, I am not political. But let me tell you, I remember when Bush, Obama, and Trump, when they were president, people started saying, hey, pray Psalm 109:8 for your president, right? And it's like, okay, let's pray the psalm. If you look at Psalm 109:8, it says, may their days be short and someone else take their service, okay? So for Bush and for Obama and for Trump, people were praying like, you know, like, may his days be short and may someone else take their place, basically. So it's like, wait a minute, what kind of, that's in the Psalms? One of the most famous psalms, let me tell you this, is 137. It starts off like this, beautiful. On the willows there, we hung up our lyres, for our captors required songs. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Beautiful, right? Well, then it switches to this. We will rejoice over those that take the little baby's heads and bash them against the wall. That's how it ends. So do you think God wants us praying, God, bash their babies' heads against the wall? No, This is somebody that has been in captivity, the people in Babylon, and he's pouring out from the heart. How can we sing the Lord's song in this land when they've raped and pillaged and beaten and killed and done all of these things? God, blessed is the man that beats these babies' heads against the wall so we won't have these enemies. He's crying out to God. Now, he's not saying we should do that. So we're going to dive into that. Anybody know what a smash room is or a rage room? Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, we used to have one in Sandy Springs. It didn't last long. What happens is you pay for some money. You pay money, and you go in there for like 5 or 10 minute increments, okay? And depending on how much you pay, you can bring your own stuff in, or you can buy some of the stuff that's in there. So for the 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you basically just beat the snot out of whatever you bring in there. Now, some people, they take like a copier. Anybody work at a job and you've got a copier that's always jamming? Okay, you can get a copier, put it in there. You can jump on it. You can smash it. You can get a sledgehammer, just beat it up. You can do whatever you want. How many really hate the Patriots? Anybody? Bunch of you. Okay, so what happens is I saw one where they had like the little punching thing, and the guy went in there and they put a picture of Tom Brady on there. And he started beating Tom Brady with, you know, especially after the Falcons lost in the Super Bowl that one time where we should have won, but he was beating up on Tom Brady. So what happens is anger gets a hold of our heart. I saw a quote in one of our puzzles last night, Sandra. It was by Buddha, actually, and it says, holding on to your anger, it's like drinking poison but hoping the other person dies. You know, it gets a hold of our lives, and it begins to create a root of bitterness and anger, and we can't really function because we're just focused on the anger and bitterness and stuff. There's a big one in New York. There's one close to Washington, D.C. in Maryland that gets a lot of business, but there's also one in Texas. Now, the one in Texas, the owner, he says, here are the people that come in the most. Here are the people that come in the most. People that are going through a divorce, people that are upset about their jobs, and Falcon fans. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't really about the job. Anyway, the idea is if I could just go in there and just let this anger out, I'll feel better, but we never feel better. It's like a wound or a scar that just remains, and we don't know what to do. I'm going to be in Psalm 109 today. Anger makes us uncomfortable, y'all. Anger makes us uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I stubbed my toe and now I'm angry. I'm talking about the anger like maybe after 10 years of marriage you found out your spouse has been unfaithful. Or after a lifetime of pouring into your children, you find your children that they want nothing to do with you anymore. Or you have a job and you've been working hard and you've been putting in the extra hours and you know you're going to get that next promotion. But somebody else gets the promotion, and on top of that, they call you in and give you the pink slip. That's the anger I'm talking about, where you feel betrayed, where you feel like you have been passed over, where you feel depressed. You're angry. So why is this psalm in there? Why is this psalm in there? We're taught most of the time we have to come to God in the right posture to pray. So the posture that I was always taught is you fold your hands and you bow your head, you know, and that's the posture you go to God. And when I was growing up in the Methodist church, you had to have a lisp because what happened is, oh, you had one way that you lived, but another way that you prayed. It's almost like Alex, Lena, Philip, we got to go to church. Get up, it's time to go to church. Or y'all quit fighting. You know, anybody have kids? Okay, you know how siblings are always hitting each other and they're beating each other, and you're yelling, stop it, I'm going to get you. The phone rings, blah, blah, blah. Hello? Yes, why yes, I do need a new set of windows. Come on by and I'll make that appointment. I told you to stop, you know, and we become a different way, but there's a different way we have to act. Sometimes we come to God in prayer like that it's not real. It's not real. We feel beat up. We feel depressed. We feel betrayed. We feel angry. But when we come to God, it's almost like, God, I wish thou would remove this anger from my tholeth. We almost like, no. when we look at this psalm here, we're going to find out David is mad. We don't know the exact situation, but apparently there's a group of people. David is the king of Israel. But these people have betrayed him. They've lied about him. They've done all these things to him. And there seems to be like one ringleader. When we come to God, I want you not only to read this psalm, I want you not only just to hear the psalm, but I want you to feel the psalm. I want you to feel what David feels, because I think many times we feel this way. I've been sharing with people, and people have been sharing with me. You may be getting too many emails from me and too many texts from me because I'm sending out, hey, man, how can I pray for you, blah, blah. You wouldn't believe the stuff I'm getting back that's going on in people's lives. And it's like I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, how can you hold it together? Well, I got news for you. You can't. Only God can hold it together for you, okay? So let's just get that out there. But how, when we look at this, we can't pray to God like this because it's almost like too raw. It's too messy emotionally. But you know what? The Bible understands that. What I love about the Bible, what I love about this psalm is not how angry and the things that David's asking for, because sometimes I'm like, "Ooh, David, back off, buddy. You're the king. Back off. Show a little restraint." But the Bible understands our emotions. God understands when you're angry. God understands when you're depressed. God understands when you're crying out to him. God understands when you feel betrayed, like you've been passed over. God knows that. God understands that. So let's just dive into this and let's see what happens here. I'm going to start. David's upset. He's unjustly accused. Here we go. 109, verse 1. "Be not silent, O God of my praise." Let's just stop right there for a minute. David is coming to God, and he's saying, okay, God, I got something I got to share with you. I got to lay it out to you. Don't be silent. I need you to act. "Be not silent, O God of my praise." Yahweh, again, the capital Lord. Do not be silent, God. I need you to act. I need you to move. Okay? So that's just verse 1. Let's go to verse 2 through 5. Let's see why David's mad. He's going to tell us why here. "For the wicked and deceitful mouths are opened against me." You know, people are lying. People are angry against me. "They are speaking against me with lying tongues. They encircle me with words of hate. They attack me without cause. In return for my love, they accuse me, but I give myself to prayer." Look at that. "I give myself to prayer. So they reward me evil for good and my hatred for love." I mean, look at what David is saying. These people, they're saying mean things about me. They're lying about me. They're doing all these things. I'm trying to be good. I'm trying to, you know, I'm the king. I'm trying to show them love and affection. And all they're doing is just biting me back. You ever been like that? Have you ever felt like that? Like you're living your life the best that you can, but you feel like everybody around you is against you? You ever feel that way? Well, if you don't think David's mad yet, have you ever reached the point where you make a deal with God? Like, okay, God, I need to hear from you. These people are doing this, and I need you to act. That's what he's saying. But then David does this. "But if you don't mind, let me give you a suggestion on how you should do it." Okay? All right, let's see what David says. Let's pick it up in verse 6. "Appoint a wicked man against him. Let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is tried, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer be counted as sin." In other words, you have someone that just gets up there and is against him the whole time. Rig the jury, okay? "May his days," listen to this, back off, David, no. "May his days be few. May another take his office. May his children be fatherless and his wife a widow." In other words, God, I want you to take him out. Right? "May his children wander about and beg, seeking food far from the ruins they inhabit." Don't just get him, you know, because he's done all this stuff to me. I want it to affect his family. I want you to take him out. I want you to take them out, right? "May the creditor," verse 11, "may the creditor seize all that he has. May strangers plunder the fruits of his toil. Let there be none to extend kindness to him, nor any to pity his fatherless children." Man, David, okay? "May his posterity be cut off. May his name be blotted out in the second generation. May the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin on his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may be cut off the memory of them from the earth." In other words, I'm so mad at these people. If you don't feel David's anger and wrath there, David is mad. And David's not even talking about that eye for an eye. He wants, okay, for my eye, I want their life. I want more than an eye for an eye. I want it all. I want them gone. I want their family gone. I want them in misery because look what they've done to me. And David is angry. Have you ever been there? Have you ever, David becomes Rain Man. In other words, he remembers everything that they did against him. Yeah, you ever been like that? How many of you are married? My wife, if I mess up, she will remind me of everything I've done since 1983. It's just, she's got a wonderful memory. That's all I know. But he singles out this person, and he's saying, God, look, I want you to act, but here's what I want you to do. Let me give you a little help, God. This is what I want you to do. David is hot. He doesn't just want justice. He wants the family and everything gone. What I like about this psalm, besides it's the memory verse for our children's department this week, is the fact that David is raw. David is honest. This is who I am. In this moment, this is how I feel. In other words, I don't let it just build up and build up and build up. In other words, I take it to God in my anger. Just like when we are down and depressed, we go to God on our face and we cry out to a merciful God saying, I can't even get out of bed today. I can't move, God. That's how down I am and I need you to move. But David is raw and he's honest. See, the Psalms he's not saying that this is what we should pray, that all these people should die and all our enemies die. But he said, this is a snapshot of what's going on in David's life, and this is a snapshot sometimes of what goes on in our lives, that we feel angry, and God, we need you to move. So the point number one is come before God honestly. If you're angry, come to God angry. Come to God angry. What I love about the Bible is all of the biblical heroes, they're flawed. And the Bible doesn't try to hide it so that as you're reading the book, you think like, wow, this guy never did anything wrong. David was a murdering adulterer. But yet it says he was a man after God's own heart. And we are all flawed, and it shows us how much God loves us, that even though we're flawed, that we are still connected to a God that loves us so much. Come to God honestly. Again, Psalm 137, bashing the baby's heads against the wall, it's like you go home from church today, what did the pastor talk about? Well, I don't know. He talked about taking a baby's head and bashing it against the wall. And it's like, yeah, I can't believe Pastor Soto got up and said all that. But, it's like, just make sure you tell him it was him. But, that's in the Bible. And that's somebody crying out, not to really do it, but God, that's how I feel in the moment. Please listen to me. Listen to me. It's not what we should be praying, but how we should be praying. We should be praying honestly. Honestly. God knows what's in your heart. Yeah, first off, you can't fool God. You can't do like the telephone trick with God. Man, I am so angry. I need to take it to God in prayer. God, right now there's a situation going on, and we just need you to move. No, he knows what's going on in your heart and in your mind, and he wants you to come before him honestly. So David is doing all these things. Let's go pick it up in verse 16 now. For now, he's saying, this is what the guy's done. For he did not remember to show kindness, but he pursued the poor and the needy and the brokenhearted, and he put them to death. In other words, he didn't just do this to me. He did it to these others. He loved to curse, and by curse is not cuss words. That's how we transliterate things today. But he would call down curses on people. Let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing, and so may it be far from him. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. In other words, let his curses that he's putting on everybody, let it just wrap around him and let it be on him even more. Sometimes when we come to God, what we do is we come with this list. Well, it's not just me. Look at how bad that person is. And we think of ourselves as better, but we're not. We're not. Verse 20. May this be the reward of my accusers from the Lord, of those who speak evil against my life. May all of these things, you know, may the curses just be wrapped around him. Sometimes when we're angry, we want to take that key and we just want to scratch and scratch and scratch and scratch and scratch. The problem is you can't scratch enough. You know, the more you start to scratch, the more into it you get and the more you go. You can't find a rage room that works that's going to get out all your anger, because the when you first start and then all of a sudden it starts to build up and you become maniacal in there. And you start looking crazy. But this is what David does. Look at verse 20 again. But you, may this be the reward of my ancestors from the Lord. From the Lord. I want you to underline that. I want you to think about that, from the Lord. In other words, God, let this be from you. So come honestly, but the second point is you have got to leave it to the Lord. You've got to leave it to God. You've got to leave it to God. David gives himself over to prayer. That's what it says in verse 3 and 4. It says, I give myself to prayer. They encircle around me. You know, they say all these things about me, but I give myself to prayer. In Deuteronomy, we've been studying numbers in Deuteronomy. We're getting ready to kick into Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says this in 32, verse 35. Vengeance is whose? Mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine and recompense is mine. That's from God. That's not us. Anger has a grip on our heart oftentimes that it eats us alive. You know, there are some people that have hurt you. Some people have said some things about you. Some people have done some stuff to you, and it's made you so angry and bitter that you've written them off. You don't want anything to do with them. Let me tell you this. Some of those people aren't even in your lives anymore. You haven't seen them in years, but the minute you hear their name, you start to feel this again, right? There are some people maybe that treated you a certain way in your life, and they're dead. They're not even alive anymore. And they still have this grip on your heart of anger. You have got to give it and leave it with God. And I know that's easier said than to do. We need, guys, we need another type of rage room. We need a rage room that works. And that rage room that works is God. Growing up, my mom was like the hand of authority that often got onto the seat of iniquity, okay, if you know what I mean. So we would do things in our stuff as brothers. You know, we were always picking on each other. But I remember one time we had one of those Vista Cruiser station wagons where the very last seat in the back faced out the back way, which was really crazy when Mom would sneak us into the movies, because they'd be looking at the movie and we'd be sitting in the back looking this way like, oh, look, there are people buying popcorn, you know, or whatever. Now, we're going down the road, and me and my cousin Doug and someone else is in the back. We're all in the back, and we're just sitting there. We're little kids or whatever, and we're going down the road, and all of a sudden, I look out, and there's my little sister Margie in the middle of the road. I'm thinking, hey, Margie's in the middle of the road. My mom's driving, right? And I don't know how my mom does this, but her hand could reach from the steering wheel all the way to that very back seat sometime. I'm like, okay, she was in the middle seats with my brother David. That's all we know, right? David swears he didn't open the door and push her out. We weren't going fast or anything, but when you look out there and you see your little sister and she's just sitting in the road like this, it's like, what is going on? Y'all think I'm making this up? I ain't making this up, right? And I'm just sitting there like, what? You know, because David, those of you who know my brother David, he ain't right, okay? I would be sitting in the back, me and Doug are looking this way, and all of a sudden you feel someone hitting you in the back of the head. You feel, you ever pick on your brothers and sisters like that? I mean, every Christmas, he and I would get in actual fights. There was one time I hit him with a phone, he hit me with a lamp. It was crazy. Until Mom came down there. Then we were both like, well, I swear we didn't do it. We don't know what happened, you know. And we've got, you know, we're going to the hospital or whatever. But my mom just slammed on the brakes. And I'm thinking like, you know what? I'm going to get in trouble again because I'm the oldest. I don't know how that works, but mom's going to do something to me, and that's what's going to happen. But it didn't happen that way. What happened is everybody was calm, got Margie back in the car, and Margie's like, he pushed me. Dave's like, I did not. And so nothing happened till we got home. Then David literally got the snot beat out of him. And I'm thinking like, In other words, he's hitting me in the back of the head, and mom's like, if I have to stop this car, y'all ever had that talk? If I have to stop this car, I'm going to beat both of you. It's like, I'm not doing anything. It doesn't matter, you're the oldest. It's like, what? But the time Margie got pushed out of the car, David swears to this day he didn't push her out of the car, that she must have opened the door and jumped out herself. It's like, no. But mom took care of that. See, that's what we have to do with God. You know, there are times like, yeah, I want to turn around and just beat the snot out of my brother, and he wants to beat the snot out of me, and sometimes it's not fair, but when it's like, that's okay. The parent's going to take care of it. And she did. Okay? And that's what we have to do. Let God do that. In other words, I was angry at David until actually I saw my sister out there, and then I thought, yes. But he was like, but when he got it, I was like, that's it. Justice worked. Give it to God. I'm angry about this situation, God. I'm angry about this job. I'm angry about this family. I'm angry about this stuff that's going on in my life, but I am giving it to you, and let you act, because he will act better. I mean, David says this. Let's pick it up in 21 and finish this out, basically. But you, O God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good. Deliver me. Listen to this. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me, and I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like locusts. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. In other words, I am wasting away. It is eating me alive. Help me, O Lord my God. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped for their own shame in a cloak. But listen to this. He's praying all these things, but listen to how it turns. With my mouth I will give great thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throngs, or the midst of the people, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul. In other words, he begins praying. I want you to knock him out. I want you to take him out. I want you to do all these things. But God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. The more you go to God, and David, he's the king, but he's saying, God, I'm powerless. I am wasting away with what is going on. And the more we go to God, the less the grip of anger has on our soul. And as you pray for that person, you're going to find that that tight grip of, yeah, at first it's like, man, I want to see his eyes poked out. I want to see him dead. I want to see bad things happen to him. But God, I'm going to give you praise, and I'm going to give you glory, and it's you that moves. And all of a sudden our heart opens up a little bit, and it changes us. God is the better rage room. God understands. Listen to this. God understands our anger and our frustration. You know why? Because there were a group of people that lied about God, that profaned God, that hated God, that betrayed God, that did all these things to God. It was all of us. And what did God do with that anger? He had every right to be angry. Was God angry? Yes, God is angry. You can read about God's anger throughout the Bible. But God put all of his anger, he put all the curses, he put all of that stuff on his son. And he died on the cross for us. That's how much God loves you and you and me. That he takes all of this anger, all of this bitterness, all of this stuff, and he put it on Jesus. And he said, you know what? That's how much I love you. I'll put it on my son, and I'll wrap it around him, and I'll let it sink into his body and into his bones like oil and water. And that's what he did, so that we could be made new. I want to invite you to come to the altar for the next few minutes. We won't be long if, you know, I know you want to get to the cookies and everything, but here's the thing. You need to get right with God. We need to get right with God. You may be in a place where you have been crying out to God and you feel like God hasn't been answering your prayers. Will you come this morning and you cry out to God and you ask Him to answer your prayers? You may be in a place this morning where you want to see somebody get theirs, right? You come to God and you pray that, but you give that to God. You may be in a place where, God, I haven't felt your presence in a while. I just kind of feel lost and alone. Then you come right here and you cry out to God and let Him speak to you this morning. So will you come this morning? Will you come now? Let's pray. You know, this has been one of those weeks where just everything seems to be going on. Had to be with a family that lost an 18-year-old daughter due to suicide. Got a phone call from a friend of mine up in Cincinnati whose daughter had been in and out of halfway homes for substance abuse, and they found her body in Cincinnati. And it's not just those kind of stories. There are people that are struggling with their faith, people that have been maybe praying for a good news from the doctor, or praying for restoration in families or in marriages. And they haven't heard or felt God, but He's there. It's what Sandra prayed this morning, that we are to continue to ask and to seek and to knock. And sometimes you just have to just bang and bang and bang on that door. But we come to God honestly. And if we're angry, we're angry. And if we're bitter, we're bitter. And if we're empty, we're empty. And if we're depressed, we're depressed. But we come honestly and not being something that we're not. Oh God. God, we thank You for who You are, that You love us so much that You took all of this ugliness and nastiness. And Father, You put all of this on Jesus. And Jesus took it upon Himself willingly, Father, so that we could be back in communion and in faith with You. Father, as we study these Psalms and Your words, Father, help us not to think that if we come to You, our life is like a Hallmark movie, that yeah, we struggled a little bit, but now everything is happily ever after, because, Father, that's just not real life. In fact, Your word tells us that in this world we will have trials. Jesus says, if we love this world, then the world will love us. But if we love You, if we love God, then the world will hate us. And so sometimes, Father, we feel that hate and that bitterness and that anger. And sometimes it's overwhelming. But like Peter, Father, help us to get out of the boat and just to begin to walk on the waves. But Father, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You. And when everything around us is going crazy, help us to keep looking at You. And Father, when we come to You with anger and with resentment, Father, I pray that You would, like David, turn our hearts around so that we would just give You praise and glory, that we would come to You honestly, but Father, we would leave it with You. Oh, Father, we love You and we praise You and we thank You, and we do all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.